Good morning, everybody. Let's start this session with the chanting. First, we will do the refuges and the precepts. And after that, we'll do the Atthanatiagata, which is on page 3. But first, starting with the Namo Tassa, the refuges, and the precepts. We'll begin. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Pannadipata viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Abrahmacharya viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Sura miraya machapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Vikala bhojana viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Nacha gita vadita visukha dasana malaganda vilepana dharana mandana vibhusanatana viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Ujjasayana mahasayana viramani sikkhapadang sammadiyami. Metta sahagatina jitasa sabhavantang lokang paritava viharami. Idang me silang magapalanyana sa pachayo hotu. Now we turn to page 3, the Atthanatiagata. We begin.
Sabba rogo vinimuto, sabba santa pavacito. Sabba vira mati kanto niputo chatuvang bhava. Sabitya vivachantu sogo rogo vinasatu. Mate bhavat vantaraya sukhi dikayu ka bhava abhivadana silisa nichang vuta pachayino chataro dhamma vadanti ayuvanno sukhang balang.
So we can put away the chant sheets. When we engage in this practice of purifying the heart and mind, to see more clearly what really exists, to free ourselves from the causes of dissatisfaction, suffering, to establish the causes that lead to happiness and peace. So engaging in this practice, I think it's good and helpful from time to time, ask ourselves, what do I want from the practice? You know, why am I still practicing? What do I want to get out of this practice? And, you know, depending on where we are on our journey, there are many possible answers. You know, it can range for to become happy, to free myself from suffering, or to have an easeful life, to get rid of the defilements, to weaken or overcoming all thoughts, or to realize Nibbana, or to be a kinder and more compassionate human being, or to overcome greed, hatred, delusion, or to feel better, whatever. You know, there are many more possible answers to this question. But all of these answers have one aspect in common. They aim at the state where pleasant feelings are dominant, or even aiming at the state where there would only be pleasant feelings. So when I speak of feelings, I refer to Vedana. This is a mental factor which accompanies each of our experience. So it's not as we use the word feeling in our day-to-day language, like I feel happy, I feel sad, I feel uplifted, I feel depressed, I feel hot, I feel cold. So it's not that. This mental factor called Vedana is something very specific. And so to differentiate it from the everyday usage of feeling, I prefer to use the feeling tone when speaking of Vedana. And Vedana is threefold. So Vedana can either be pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. Neutral, which means neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And so this one of these three Vedanas, one of these three feeling tones, is accompanying each of our experience in body and mind. So, you know, in regard to our experiences in the body, if we feel pressure, then we can also discern whether this pressure is experienced as pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. Or when there is stabbing pain, again, Vedana, the feeling tone is also there, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Or when there is a soft tingling, again, it's accompanied by one of these three Vedanas, as can be experienced as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so with any of our experiences in the body, Vedana is always present from moment to moment. And likewise with the experiences in the mind. So a thought pops up and that's also accompanied by a feeling tone. Can be experienced as pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. And of course, all the emotional states. If joy comes up, again, we can discern whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Or sorrow, again, accompanied by Vedana. Or mental images, again, Vedana, the feeling tone is also present in that moment. And Vedana play an important role in the whole process of purifying our heart and mind. That's why the Buddha singled them out as a separate satipatthana, a separate foundation of mindfulness. Of course, most people, most meditators like the pleasant Vedanas. They dislike the unpleasant Vedanas. And they're kind of neutral towards the neither pleasant nor unpleasant Vedanas. That's kind of an indifference or not really interested in that kind of Vedana. And of course, most people, most meditators would like to have as much pleasant Vedanas, feeling tones, as possible. Or if it were possible, to only have pleasant Vedanas. But let's reflect. Is it possible to lead a life that is accompanied by only pleasant feelings, free feeling tones? You know, we might imagine that the Buddha or any fully liberated person has no more unpleasant Vedanas, no more neutral Vedanas, only pleasant Vedanas. But we know from the Buddha that sometimes he suffered from back pain. And, you know, it must have been experienced as unpleasant, because in one instance we know that the Buddha asked his attendant, Venerable Ananda, to give the talk to a group of monks, because the Buddha said he had this back pain and he wanted to lie down and take a little rest. Or else we are told that sometimes the Buddha suffered from headaches, which he must have experienced as unpleasant Vedana. We also can reflect about the assumption, the more pleasant experiences we have in our practice, the more progress we are making. Is this correct? You know, if this were so, then if we were to experience unpleasant vedanas, that would mean we are regressing, or at least not making any progress. You know, in the process of our meditation practice, in the process of our purification of the heart and mind, in this process of getting ever deepening insights, there are different phases that we go through. And one phase is referred to as the dukkha jnanas, like stages of insights that are predominantly of the nature of dukkha, of unpleasant, painful. And this is a very important phase to go through, and we cannot avoid it. We cannot make a detour in order to further progress. You know, in other spiritual traditions, this phase is also referred to as the dark night of the soul. As I said, this phase where we experience a lot of unpleasant vedana, unpleasant feeling tones, is important that we go through. And so even though there is a lot of unpleasant vedana happening at that time, it's a sign of progress. And in reflecting on our practice, on our life in general, I'm sure we all have gone through phases where it has been difficult, where we experience a lot of pain, unpleasantness. Of course, at the time when we were in such a phase, it was not really nice. We did not probably like it. But then, emerging from such a difficult, painful phase, often we come to realize or to admit that actually we have learned something, or that we have come to understand something more deeply. And so looking back on such a phase, you know, we even can call it a blessing, because it has really helped us to get deeper understanding, or to strengthen our compassion or our commitment whatsoever. And again, we can ask ourselves, why do we often or usually or sometimes shrink back from experiences that are unpleasant or painful? Or why do we think that our practice is not going well if we experience a lot of unpleasant vedanas, And why do we think our practice is going really well when we experience a lot of pleasant vedanas? You know, what do we actually know about the path of this practice, the path leading to complete liberation? We know there are different sceneries along this path. Sometimes the scenery is nice and beautiful, exciting, but at other times the scenery is ugly, not nice, even disgusting. So from a path that we have never walked to the very end, how do we know what lies ahead of us? You know, we do not know yet the territory that we will walk through. And often there is also judgment around one's experiences, around the practice. What I often hear in individual practice meetings is that meditators come and say, "Oh, this morning my practice was really bad." And then I ask, "Well, what do you mean with this? Oh, there was a lot of restlessness, or there was pain, or my mind was scattered, or it was lost in this loop of thinking," and so on. So judging these kinds of experiences as bad. Or at other times people come, "Yesterday I had a really good day of practice." And then I ask, "Well, what do you mean by that? What was your actual experience?" And then people would say maybe, "The mind was very calm, it was very concentrated, or there was a lot of happiness, or I felt bliss." Of course, these experiences are there, yes, but these experiences in themselves are neither good nor bad. They are just the way they are. And so when people say my practice is good or bad, you know, that's a very personal, subjective judgment about the practice. And sometimes or often it's not a correct or appropriate judgment. So in our practice, it's not so much about good or bad practice, also not so much about having pleasant vedanas or unpleasant vedanas or neutral vedanas, but rather in our practice, it's much more about how much closer do we get to reality? How much clearly, how more clearly do we see what is actually happening? Or how skilled are we to deal with the experiences that are arising, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Or it's also much more about what is our attitude towards these experiences that arise in the body, heart, and mind. because what is important and what is the goal of this Vipassana practice is to really get some deep understanding of reality, to see things as they are. So understanding, realization, wisdom is what matters in this practice. And so if possible, you know, it would be good to let go of our assessment of the practice, to let go of our judgment of the practice and the experiences, and just do the practice, you know, to the best of our abilities. Do the practice with confidence and interest. Do it with a gentle perseverance and with great courage. Yes, let's do that. Let's do the practice. Let's do a sitting meditation together. At the beginning of a sitting meditation, it's always good and helpful to make sure you have a good posture, a comfortable posture. Because, you know, we sit for half an hour or 1 hour or even more, and this several times a day, many times a day. So it's good to really pay attention to our bodily posture. In the long run, this really pays off. So to make sure that the upper part of the body is upright, the back is straight, you know, making sure that the body is not leaning forward, not leaning backwards, not slanting to the sides, but more or less upright and straight and yet relaxed. You know, the head is in line with the spine. The chin may be tucked in a little bit so that the neck becomes kind of free and a bit long. This helps the energy flow through. You can also make sure that the jaw is relaxed, the muscles in the face are relaxed. And then make sure the area of the shoulders is relaxed. arms and the hands are comfortably resting in the lap or on the legs. And in regard to the lower part of the body, we can notice different touching sensations. The buttocks touching the cushion or the chair. And different touching sensations in the legs, the knees, the ankles, the feet, the sole of the feet. And here we can also make sure that, you know, we let all our weight fall on the cushion, on the chair, on the floor. The floor, the chair, the cushion is holding us, carrying us. Again, we can open the awareness to the whole body, being aware of the body sitting there. Sitting in a comfortable and stable posture. It can also be helpful to check the bodily posture during a sitting meditation, just to make sure that the body is still more or less upright. And if we notice that the body is slanting to one side or bending forwards, then very mindfully and gently, we can bring the body again in an upright posture. We can straighten the back, or we may notice that we have pulled the shoulders up, that there is tension there. So then, we could let go of the tension and drop the shoulders. So then, when you are ready, you can bring your awareness to the experience of the breath and be mindful of that experience as it is happening from moment to moment. or if something else is dominant in the body, in the mind, you may place your awareness there and be mindful of that experience as it is. So today there will be individual practice meetings for the other half of the group, those who didn't have one yesterday. And for everybody, the practice continues, mindfully and interested, so that we can take care of each moment as it is. Thank you.